Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight. Just one thing, one thing to the other. And the book of remembrance was opened before the Lord. I will know tonight it is so again. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Talking of the end time event, if you have forewarned us of Lord. Lord, we thank you, Father, for making us to live in this age, the most joyful age for the people of God. Beginning of sorrows for the rest people of the world. So we thank you. Help us to as many as we can reach with our testimony that they also may be saved. Help us, enable us, anoint us for the witnessing of this last day, Lord.
Amen.
Father, we thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Bible says the entrance to your word giveth life.
Amen.
So as we read tonight, Lord, we bless the reading of your word. Father, in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
I want to read from Matthew 24, the first couple of verses from Matthew 24. From verse 1 to verse 8. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple. And his disciples came to him for to show him the building of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Praise ye the Lord. By the grace of God, we take a text from the 7th verse of that chapter. And the last, the 7th verse says, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famine, and pestilences, and earthquakes in diverse places. So tonight, by God's grace, worldwide famine. Praise the Lord. Worldwide famine. So today, the world is voicing an increasing famine phenomenon in many nations. They are saying not over the news, not over the report I can get on the internet, not knowing that this is the fulfillment of prophecy I just read now from the Lord. They are now echoing the same thing. They don't know what they are doing. They are apparently just echoing prophecy. They are wondering why the famine all over the world, and yet the master of the universe, the creator of the universe, ready for one, that this will be at the end of time. So, this report, I will read some of them later, attribute this famine mainly to population explosion, they said, which is partly true, conflicts in many nations, which is partly true, and droughts, they said, and world climate changes. That's what they are saying are the major contributors to these things, and they are partly right, you know. So let's talk about what they think. They talk about world population, and that's partly true, really, you know. So I got a report here, you know, I did some little research here. So here's what they found, world population. It was found that a tremendous change in world population occurred with the Industrial Revolution. And how were they found? They said that whereas it had taken all of human history up to around 1800 AD for world population to reach 1 billion from the time of reckoning to 1800, it had taken them that long to reach a population of 1 billion all over the world. Now, listen to this one. Now, So 1 billion. The second billion was achieved in just only 130 years. So from 1800 to 1930, they only hit 1 billion. But that from the time of recording to 1800, just one billion. Then in just 130 years, they hit 1 billion. And now, watch your. So now, and the third billion, in just 30 years. You see? In just 30 years, that was in 1960. Now, even worse still, the fourth billion in 15 years. That was in 1974.
Wow.
See? And the fifth billion in only 13 years, 1987. So look at how the population, the like I don't know how to exponential. Anyway, so and yeah, that's right. So during the during the 20th century alone, the population in the world has grown from 1.65 billion to 6 billion. 20th century alone. So. From 1 to 1.6 billion, you know, people on the face of the earth. Now, the current world population as of today, when I look, there is a meter on the internet. They call it worldometer, you know, what they call it. It shows you every second, you'll be rolling. Now, they don't even count everybody, right? You tell everybody in my village, they don't have any account about that one. You see what I'm saying? That's the hospital of the world, right?
That's right.
In my world, that's hospital, you know how many people are born.
People
are born. So, it's even more than that, you know? So anyway, this is what they got from the hospital over the world that they are counting, right?
Yeah.
And it's running every second. It doesn't even stop. People are getting boy.
Every second.
Population explosion. You know, so they take part of the problem with the famine that is upon the world and so on. So as of yesterday night, when I look, 7.9 billion
wow.
people are upon the earth. And they get that underestimation anyway. Gross underestimation. You know, so interestingly though, Nigeria is the seventh most populous nation with 213 million. Now they say they are seventh position according to them. So even though we don't have the accurate census, right? So Nigeria is the seventh position with 213 million people. US is third with 333.5 million. China is leading at 1.45 billion. And India is second with 1.4 billion.
Wow.
So anyway, the immediate effect, they say, of this world population explosion is that the world is suddenly brought face to face with the possibility of catastrophe of precipitated proportions. I'm quoting them now.
Oh.
What is that? A mass famine such as history has never known. Even the online, the son of the Bible, right? The time of trouble has not been since the beginning of the world. The Bible says the book of Daniel, and just said the same thing, right? You know, so famine, the Lord prophesied all these things and so on. And they don't even know one of the major signs of the end of the world that even people don't even take note, even Christians. You know, we know about earthquakes, right?
Yeah.
But famine is all over the place, and we don't even know it, you know. And the Bible is one of the most signs, and even for the world now, even earthquakes all over the place, you know. So anyway, so and. It has already begun. They even said that we increase in such a magnitude no foreseeable remedy can avert it. That's what they say. This is what is happening in the world family. There is no foreseeable remedy can avert it. Fulfilling prophecy, you know. They don't even know it. I just say it as a fulfilling prophecy, you know. So what population has. Another thing is this. Doing good world food production.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they are talking about. You know, even people in the secular people in the world, you know. And I have some written articles here. So here is another statistic. Until World War II, many of today's hungry nations were exporting grains. If I was in Nigeria, when I was in primary school, the pyramid granuts in Kano. Where are they? The rubber in the Bengal State. The palm oil industry in Bangladesh, the Enugu, whatever that the coal and all of this that are in there. Where are all those things, you know?
Yeah.
We have rubber, we have cocoa. Even in my own village, my dad, we have cocoa farm, we have coffee farm, you know. So who they buy energy, who they buy yeah, because you know we plant more than enough, right?
Yeah.
So even people they are reporting these things, so
we have wrong
education. I'm sorry? So they become importers. Now they are all importers. Everybody is importing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, see? Now, The tremendous scope of this change has caught the word of God, they said. Many nations have lost the capacity to feed themselves from the land available to them. Couldn't eat anymore. And I'm sorry?
Nigeria.
Oh. That's right. Over the years, only the vast bread basket of the U.S. And the steady flow of our supplies abroad have averted mass starvation over the years. But now, here is a warning. Even but now, those supplies are almost gone. New for the U.S. with the bread basket of the world. And that's what they are reporting themselves. Secular people, you know. So, and the news, you know. And the Lord said, famine, you know, upon the world and so on. Now, the time weather conditions. And they said, nations on the verge of starvation were once able to temporarily adjust to the situation. If it's just intermittent, right? But now, they couldn't do it because, but now, year after year, right? You know, of no rain, little or no rain. So they could not do that, they can't stand it anymore, you know. So the population, now they are slipping over the brink into the chasm of catastrophe, meaning I'm going to go into a gorge of catastrophe because of this famine thing. It's all over the world, you know. Jesus said, famine, this thing he put an edge, there are famines. And that we read, that's all over, that's speaking, that is that famine all over the land of the world. So it was once said that, another quote, more human lives hang in the balance in the race between food and people that have been lost in all the wars of history. So people's life and so on. All people die in World War One, World War Two, and so on. People die of hunger and so on. Many people's life now hang in the balance. More than all the people that are dying in all the war of, you know, in the history of the world. Now these are all secular news talking about these things and so on. The Bible has warned us of this. Now, there is a, you know, that's a prophetic something to this, you know. So the prophetic great famine in Egypt, you know, that the great decline in world food supplies brings to mind our mind. Who know the Bible? The seven good years in Egypt, right? And before the great famine. So now, what is different at this? The difference now is this: there is no Joseph to warn them, right? So that's why they are going to where they are going. There is no more Joseph. They are becoming Joseph, a false Joseph, right?
Awesome.
So he's going to come, you know. So that's what they're going to get, you know. So that's one there. Now, prophetic significance of all these things. In the book of Revelation, the Bible tells us another very, very profound one, you know, and we're going to spend a little time on that and so on. The third horse rider of the Apocalypse in the book of Revelation partly symbolizes this world condition. It means more than one thing, that also in Revelation 6, 5 and 6, you know, it means more than one thing, but let's see, you know. The man with the balances, partly symbolizing masturbation, you know, is ready to ride. That will happen upon the waters of the world now, you know. So, and when he rides, millions will die. Let's Revelation 6, 5 and 6, let me read that one. And when he had opened his third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. And see, thou hast not the oil and the wine. So we found out that the same rider that rode the white horse in the first horse rider, the same one that rode the red horse, we know that one, in the seas and things like that, you know. So it was just changing his ministry, the Antichrist, right? So just changing, just as a summary of that, just changing his ministry and so on. Now, Brother John saw him on a black horse. So let's see the two implications of his white horse. In one sense, the black horse represents the dark ages. We know that. You know, what happened there? A time of midnight, you know, to the true believers at that time that were left, you know. As we know, the law always have remnant, right? As the scripture says in Isaiah 1:9, an interesting scripture. It says, except the law of hosts has left unto us a very small remnant. I always see that very small. I always say remnant, right? Mm-hmm. Now, when I very small, very small remnant. See, very small remnant. Now, my cottage started when I was reading this one. See, I don't know the very small. I used to omit that one. I didn't know. Very small remnant.
Yeah.
What an age. Stumbling things. We should have, been as Sodom. And we should have been like unto Gomorrah. So the dark ages, talking about the dark ages, was at the time when the Lord says unto the Philadelphia church age, in Revelation 3:8, for thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. So practically at that time, all hope has been taken away from the true church. As Catholicism at that time has taken over both church and state. Even back then, Philadelphia age, when this thing happened, I don't know that, you know. So, and all that didn't agree with Catholicism, of course, they were killed now. 6 million people and so on. You know, millions of people were killed by some Catholic people who disagree with them. So Revelation 6:6 says, and I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and 3 measures of barley for a penny. So we know, even in real life, wheat and barley are what natural bread is made of, right? And as they say that bread is the staff of life, right? How they say, the staff of life. So, and the system in that day, they charge the people. In the Democratic, they charge the people for everything. Even for prayer, they charge for prayer. Then they have, lots of the prayer. And, so they also have relics that they sell, And they also have indulgences, including for the dead, who might be in purgatory or hell. So what is an indulgence? Like I said before, the Pope has a pre-signed certificate. It's already pre-signed. So you go to the priest, maybe you say you have seen that thing that you know, they just hand you one, right? So your sins are forgiven. Ah, I'm going to go to heaven. And purgatory is people that have already died. You have a relative who has died, right?
Yeah.
And you think maybe it's in hell and something like that, you go and buy a purgatory for him, for the dead, Basically Babylon, And these are all in history, And that means that they do it and something like that, So anyway, and this is how they get in the wealth of the world, through relics, payment for prayer, and apart from, there was a saying that one Pope at one time, I forgot his name now. Oh, he says another Pope and so on. Oh, he said Peter used to say that, silver and gold I have none. But what I have, I give unto you. He said, the church can't say that silver and gold we don't have now. Because they have all the gold.
Oh,
so that guy says, you know, can we say to the lame, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise and walk. We don't have that power either, Did you see what I'm trying to say?
Mm-hmm.
So he was saying that, we can't say we don't have silver and gold like Peter said, we have the gold now.
Okay.
So that was saying, that can we say to a lame person, rise and walk in Jesus' name. Anyway, praise the Lord. So they told everything, they have the wealth of the world and so on for the time we are living in. So by this, we see the system bringing the wealth of the world into the church. Throughout the church, that age and all the today, they are doing the same thing. Look at them. Go to any Roman Catholic church. Even in this time, they are well built with marbles, anywhere you go, with marble, no matter where you are. So they are there, So that's one sense of that thing in the book of Revelation, that they just in the third horse rider. Let's look at the one that pertains to 29. In another sense, the black horse rider has an apocalyptic significance. That is, the riding of the black horse also indicates famine. That's what I want to talk about a little bit. So he carries a pair of balances in his hand by which food is carefully weighed out. See, balances, right? the penny is a denarius, meaning a common day's wage. In the parable of the law, where the householder and so on went out early in the morning to hire the 11-hour laborers, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what the Lord said about denarius and so on in Matthew 20 verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, that's a denarius, a penny a day, he sent them to, so a denarius, a day's wage and so on that, So a measure of wheat is about a quart, a quart and so on that, for a whole day's wage, and indicates what? A desperate economic situation upon the face of the earth. It's coming. You know, maybe it's already setting right now. Even these people are carrying it all over the place and so on, you know. So, when food is plentiful, exact weighing is not required. Even like in Egypt, only on the scarcity set in, then, you know, they now begin to weigh. You know, so Egypt is an example. When there was plentiful of corn, there was no weighing. And when there's, you know, so only when the scarcity has set in, that they begin to do things and so on. So anyway, so black, meaning this or rather, black, the color of the third horse, is an indication of famine. We're going to get about two or three scriptures around us, how we know that it's famine and so on. When drought occurred in the days of Jeremiah, you know, the gates of Jerusalem were black to the ground, according to the scriptures. That's how we know. We don't just put something out of where. Scripture must interpret scripture. Praise the Lord. That's how you don't miss anything, you know. It's not just can do anything or anything like that. You have to be, if it happens in the scripture, just leave it alone, you know. So Jeremiah 14:1, the word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah concerning the drought, meaning the scarcity of that time and so on. You know, or family wanted to call it and so on. But 2 says, Judah mourned, and the gates thereof languishing. They are black. You see that? They are black unto the ground. And the cry of Jerusalem is gone up. So in Lamentation, also written by Jeremiah of God, Lamentation, he said the drought. You know what he said, Lamentation 5:10. Our skin was black like an oven because of the terrible famine. There we go. See? The black horse of Apocalypse. You know? So that's what he said here. It means nearing the great tribulation. Tribulation, which begins when the Antichrist declares himself to be God in that temple, severe drought begins to set in different places on the earth, and consequently a great famine. You know, and the drought will get worse and worse to the place where it will not rain for 42 months, according to the scriptures. You know, during the ministry of the two witnesses of Revelation 11. And we can read them, the devil 3 and so on. And I will give power unto my witnesses, two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth, but 6 days this. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, 42 whole months, no rain whatsoever, you know. So now, so here is another quote from World Food Program, WFP, as of May this year, what did it say? I quote them now. Acute hunger at 5-year high, study warns as famine looms for millions. That's the exact words. The Lord Jesus said, famine, pestilences, earthquakes, in Matthew 24, you know, so they are now echoing unknowingly the exact scripture, you know, that the Lord said we have. Now, here is the chief economist of a World Food Program, and I quote him again. Our worst fears are coming true. Needs are nowhere near subsiding. Acute hunger is up. Chronic hunger is up, and extreme poverty is up. Millions remain on the verge of famine. Now what he said, this is his word, back in May. There is no end in sight, he said, unless we resolve conflict. They are thinking that this conflict no contribute to this famine. That's true, but that's not the whole thing. Unless we resolve conflict. Then he said this. Till then, without immediate action back in May, millions will die or will starve. The window to avert famine is closing fast. That's what he says. The Lord said there'll be famines, right? So they can't close it. I don't think they're going to close it. When that Antichrist rises, 42 months of no rain whatsoever, how are they going to close the gap? Anyway, one more statement before I go on. In a joint statement, the EU, European Union, right, with the USAID, USAID, by the way, is the US Agency for International Development. It was set up in 1961 by JFK, you know, to help the nation, you know. Yeah, that's right. Okay, so here, so they have a meeting together with EU, USAID, United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization, and WFP itself. And here's what they said in that joint whatever community. The outlook for 2021 and beyond is grim. This is their language. I'm just quoting them now. Let me put my own word here. All of them put together, it says it's grim. Another quote from the report says this. So they have 55 food crisis centers that they monitor in this report. So in the 55 food crisis covered by the report, over 75 million children aged under 5 suffer stunting, meaning that being too short for their age, and why 15 million children suffer wasting. And this is government and all these agencies that come out to say all these things and so on. And they put it on about 41 million people, more than the population of Canada, are at the risk of starving to death in 2021. That's what they say, you know. So that, but no, not me that talks according to the Bible, you know. The Bible say that famine and some of that, you know. But already upon the happen on the earth. So the report shows that the apocalyptic condition of severe famine implied by the Black Horse Rider and the prophecy of our Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 24 is already noted upon the earth, and consequently what that means to us, the imminent appearance of the Antichrist. All it means, see? When it comes, that's why I'm going to issue a mark, right? Everything has to be weighed out, and so including food, you know. So it should like be those 7 years, that is 78th week, though it show up in the middle of that week. Don't forget in the days of Joseph, like he said, was a good Joseph, right? And if Joseph will die in this Antichrist, I'm going to mark people and so on to even buy food and so on. So that's why what the Bible says. So that's the word system. What does the Bible say concerning the elect? For us, there will be revival among the believers, and the rapture of the church is near. That's what it means to us. And I'm going to close with that, you know. So we have just point these things out to see prophecy fulfilling right for the mouth of the Lord, you know. So what is it? That is already happening upon the face of the earth. So for us, the believers, revival among the believers and the rapture. The same chapter 24 of Matthew, don't forget the warning of the law. I said all those not to scare the Christian at all. The Lord put a warning there. See ye that ye be not troubled. Amen? If you are a believer, praise God. I be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. So that is in Matthew 24, verse 6, some phrase from there. It already gives us a confidence and so on, no matter what. And even in Luke 21, their companion chapters, right? 24 of Matthew and 21 of Luke, right? Luke 21:28 says, and when these things begin to come to pass, like we have been saying right now, then look up and lift up your head, for your redemption draws nigh. That is our own, you know, what God has done for his people. So, and we know that the prophecy declared that there will be a mighty outpouring. Here, what we'll be looking for, we look up, our redemption draws nigh, right? Not to be afraid of anything, you know, because we are in Christ. Then upon this, top of all these things, God has promised of a mighty outpouring revival. So we don't get stuck about what the Bible says, men's hearts, filling them for fear, for looking after those things which are happening in the world. That's not our portion. Amen? Amen. They let us look up our redemption dress. This means that the coming of the Lord dress tonight. Before the Antichrist show up in that temple and so on, in the material and half years into the 7th, 7th, 8th week and so on, the bride should be going that middle. From what you know, from all Bible verses and all that, you know. So anyway, so imagine the Bible awaits us, you know. And that means that the Bible is even around the corner. Maybe it's already happening now, a little here, a little there, you know. So, in the book of Joel, here what it says, 2:28. And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. These are the things we are looking for, amen? Not what the world is looking for. And your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids, in those days will I pour out of my spirit. Now don't forget to mark the word. Upon all flesh, right? What does that mean? What does that mean to us? That means that this revival will spread to hungry hearts everywhere. That means in all denominations, and even Protestants, and even Catholic alike. You say all flesh, right? Mm-hmm. Now, so where? They say, in another verse, I say the same thing. It's in Zechariah 10:1 to show you that where this, where we go. In 10:1, Zechariah says, showers of rain to everyone grass in the field, right? Mm-hmm. Now, the thing is this. Yeah, he goes to the denomination, even Catholic, what are you going to do there? To pull out the children of God from there. How do you do for the children? No, the children will not be saved, you know? They are just the Antichrist itself, right? They will not be saved, but we pull out God's children from there. That's how we put them out, you know? How am going to do for them? That's what he said in Revelation 18, verse 4. And he said, let me read that one really quickly. You know, God has people in all of these places, you know? So, like, what do we do for them? Just put them out. So that's why in Revelation chapter 4, 18, verse 4, come out of her, my people. You see, my people. God has people in all these places, right?
Amen.
My people, you know? That he be not partakers of our sins, and that he receive not of our plagues. So that has fallen. We put them out of Catholicism, Puritanism, and so on, and first apostate, Pentecostal, and so on, you know, we put them out from there, and so on, you know. And those who are ready for the translation. So, now, this revival is the last of the later rain, which ripens the harvest. So, the last of the later rain, which ripens the harvest. In James 5, verse 7, we are told, be patient. This is what the elect is looking for, right? The word is looking, beginning of sorrow. But here, what the elect is looking for, what is promised us, which shall never fail. If the word prophecy is coming to pass, how much more? That which is promised the Son of God. Praise the Lord.
Now,
in James 5, 7, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husband man waited for the precious fruit of the earth, and has long patience for it, until he received the early and later rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord dread nigh. That should be the language of the elect, amen?
Yeah.
The coming of the Lord dread nigh. See? So, Zechariah 10:1, which I read partly before. Now, ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the later rain. So the Lord shall make bright clouds, and give them showers of rain, every one grass in the field. So it will be the greatest revival of all time, and the final one too. See? From all groups and denominations, we assemble the army of the Lord, an army filled with the Spirit of the living God. Put them out of their system and so on, those who are still there, and put them out and so on. So, and the most powerful revival ever, the last one too. So it is true, the Philadelphia Church Age, that the Lord gave this promise here, and it grew today, Revelation 3:10, because you have kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly, the Lord said, verse 11, hold that fast which he has, thou hast, that no man take that crown, eh?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So even with the war people and so on, they are now saying, they don't know the implication of it. They don't know where it's going to go, but we know where it's going to go. And we just kind of have a somebody tonight. Praise the Lord. Go to the Antichrist system. This is what brings him in, you know, crisis, even the food crisis and so on, together with all other crises. We just take one of the crises of God tonight, famine in the other place and so on. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus. Not leaving us in the dark. Lord, in the name, say that I from Abraham, that which I will do. Lord, we thank you for not hiding from all that which I'm going to do. Let's say the name of the Lord. And this has to get us ready to have us prepared in the name of the Lord Jesus. To be ye also ready. When now we think not, the Son of Man coming. Lord, we thank you tonight, Lord, for this little time we spend together in the world as we go. And we see everything happening that say will happen. This is just one singular thing of all many prophecies. There are many of them like that, but we just think with this one out, you know, by the grace of God. So as we go, we expand this thing to our mind. Lord, we know the hour we are living in is late. Like they always say, it is later than we think. In the name of the Lord Jesus, so we will not be caught on our way as a thief that will come upon all of them, as a snare rather, you know, to help us to be of them, but to watch and pray that we can't set worry, to escape all these things, Lord, as we stand before the Son of Man, Father, in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. There you go. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Just give my best on the news tonight. I'll just jump into the